Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Welcome to episode 4 and the conclusion, believe it or not, of our Proverbs Walking in Wisdom series. Now, throughout this series, we've discovered that Proverbs is the wisdom of Christ for all generations, across all cultures and all socioeconomic constructs. The goal of wisdom is that through reverence, trust, and commitment to the Lord and His instructions, that you and I will know how to live our life the way He intended. And Scripture uses Proverbs to instruct us on how to walk in the path of wisdom, especially during challenging times. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 to 6 says, "So make wisdom your quest. Search for the revelation of life's meaning." Scripture's telling us our challenge here is to seek it out. "Don't let what I say go in one ear," I love this, "and out the other," saying, "take a hold of it. Stick with wisdom, and she will stick with you, protecting you throughout your days. She will rescue all those who passionately listen to her voice." Now, I can personally attest to this truth at work within my life and within my family, during the good times and during the times that we struggle to understand. Sticking to His wisdom, as that wisdom protects us and rescues us from confusion, from sorrow, from even heartbreak. Last week, we received some very upsetting news that my wife Susan's oldest brother, Joey, had unexpectedly passed away, leaving behind his wife and his daughter. And so, as you can imagine, this was devastating news for all of us as a family. I'm honestly still trying to get my head around and accept the fact that one of my very best friends is gone. Just like that. Joey was a loving husband, a father, and a son. He was a great brother, an uncle, an amazing friend to many, and now he's a cherished memory for all of us. So today, as I minister this message to you, our family is on our way back to Nova Scotia for an unexpected trip to be with family, to prepare for his celebration of life, and to thank the Lord for the gift that he was to all of us. And it's at times like this, honestly, that I am forever thankful for you, our church family, for the love and the support that we have felt from so many. And I want to ask you something today. Would you do something for me, for our family? Would you pray for us over the next couple of days that we would bring peace into this situation? Pray for our family as we navigate this time together. We would truly appreciate that. So before we jump into the message today, let's do just that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your words of wisdom, for those words that affect and change the trajectory of our lives. I pray today that it would move beyond wisdom and or move beyond knowledge, and it would move to a place of wisdom where we can walk in that truth every day that we live. Not to just grow in our education of Scripture, but to walk in a deeper relationship with you, that we would sense your peace in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I think there's a growing trend today in culture and even in the church to some degree of leaning more on our human understanding than the wise and proven words of this book. That is alarming when you consider it, but human understanding, when you take inventory of it, often leads to confusion. But the book of Proverbs provides for you and I another path to walk on. And with 31 chapters in the book, this is a fantastic book to tackle in 1 month. I challenge you to do this. to take an entire month, take one day per chapter, whatever day of the week it is, whatever the number is, match it to the chapter in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, and allow these incredible wise words to sink deep into your heart. It's kind of like a prescription for healthy living. And I think as I read through this book myself, one scripture really stood out to me about the importance of putting this series together. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, when it says, "Wisdom is supreme." It's at the top of the list. And if it's at the top of God's list, it should be at the top of our list too. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Go after it. Though it costs you all, get understanding. It may cost you everything you have, but Scripture talks about the value of wisdom. It's so, so important. Now the Hebrew word here is translated for wisdom is translated skilled living. Wisdom is supreme. Again, talking about the value for how we live in that skilled way every day. Now, scholars will point to King Solomon as the principal author, and I've always found his story very fascinating. He's Israel's wisest king. He's the son of King David, and he was uniquely qualified to serve as the author of this record of wise words. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote three books of the Bible, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. But the book of Proverbs helps us to clearly understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom. For instance, knowledge builds a house, but wisdom builds a home. Knowledge gives us the know-how, but it's wisdom that helps us to have Christ at the center of it. Knowledge understands God, but wisdom walks with God. You see, I don't want you just coming to church every week or joining us online so that your knowledge tank is more full. My heart for you, for our entire church, is that you would know him personally and that that relationship would continue to develop. Billy Graham said it this way, "Knowledge is horizontal, but wisdom is vertical. It comes down from above." Knowledge is horizontal, meaning you can go to college, you can take classes, you can go online, you can learn so much. But wisdom is all about connecting with the God of the universe. Wisdom is light in a dark room. Wisdom is that power that gives us the skill that we need for living a successful life. But living God's way is a challenge because we're constantly fighting and dealing with the feeling that we have of being pulled in the direction of our own selfish way. You see, our own way will always lead us further away from who God is. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him." That's pretty harsh, but true. You see, Proverbs, it concerns itself completely with instructing people in the path of wisdom, his way, God's path. You know, when I grew up as a kid, we grew up on a cul-de-sac, like a little circle of homes that looped around, and we were down at the corner. And at the top of that cul-de-sac was a path. And this pathway, this long gravel path, it connected one residential neighborhood to another. Now, early on, I wasn't allowed to go near that path. Do not go on the path. And most of my friends had been given the same warning from their parents. And we didn't really understand why, but I think with so much attention on not going near the path, that there was an incredible curiosity about the path. So we'd spend a lot of time hanging around the path, looking down to see what was on it. There were rumors, and I don't know who made them up, maybe some of the parents so that we wouldn't go down there, but there was rumors that down that path was a huge nest of bats, and that if you went down that path, they would chase you right to the end of it. It's As a matter of fact, the story went on to say that there was once a little girl who went down the path when she wasn't supposed to, and when she got halfway down the path, bats descended upon her, and she ran screaming all the way to the end, only to have two or three of them get into her hair and get so knotted up that they had to shave her head so that she could be free of them. I don't know if that's true. I don't think it probably was. But again, it was created to keep us away from the path. And the rumors went on and on. There was kids at the other end of the path that were so violent that they would go to war with you if you went down that path. There was people doing drugs on the path. There was people drinking on the path. Listen, I think anything that the parents didn't want us to go near was happening on that path. And so finally, when I was old enough, I got on my bike and I drove up to the front of that path and I looked down and I thought, I'm just going down there. I'm going to see if it's true. And I drove my bike as fast as I could down that path, bracing myself to be chased by killer bats or to be welcomed at the other end by gangs of kids that were ready to take me out. But you know what? I was disappointed. There was nothing but gravel on that path. Nothing happened. Now, I wish I could say that the paths that this generation is faced with every day, the paths that you and I are tempted to sometimes go down, were as innocent as this one, but they're not. You see, the path of wisdom is one of many that you can choose from, but you need focus not only to choose it, but to stay on that path. Proverbs says that we must get wisdom and stay on that path no matter what it costs us. Now, out of the 31 chapters of Proverbs, the first 9, they serve as kind of a case for Proverbs. Then in chapter 10, the tone changes. The Proverbs themselves actually begin. In other words, every line is a different topic. One line talks about your kids. One talks about your marriage, your money. Whatever it is, your time, one by one are these little statements that can stand on their own from the others. They're little nuggets of truth. And interestingly, in these 9 chapters, and even throughout the book, it clearly identifies different types of people and what characterizes each. The first one is the simple. Now, that sounds harsh, right? It sounds like a slam on a certain group of people. But these are people who are not wise because no one has told them. They don't know any better. Proverbs 7:7 says, I saw among the simple, I noticed a young man and youth who had no sense. Now parents are nodding their head going, yeah, I'm experiencing that right now. Now it's not that they're picking on or Solomon's picking on young people here. It's simply that they haven't lived long enough to gain the kind of experience. They have limited experience in life. And the truth is, there's a bit of simple in all of us. We've all been in the place where we think we know best. We know better than everybody else, even when other people around us are saying, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't be with that individual. Don't do it. But inside, we're convinced it's the right way. We're going to do it my way. That's the thing that we're convinced of. And you know what? I've counseled countless people over the years who have come seeking prayer and direction and guidance in their life. And even after I've offered it, there are still some people who, when they leave the office, they still decide to go in the complete opposite direction. Now, a few have returned months later or even years later, and they said, man, I should have listened to you. I was so determined to do it my way that I pressed on. Now my hair is full of bats, and I need your help to kind of cut them out of me. You see, there's hope even on the other side of those moments. But simple thinking can take us down the wrong path very quickly. When we're young, someone tells us that they love us, and quickly our emotions are engaged because we don't have enough experience to understand the depth or the meaning of those words. You and I, we need the wisdom that comes from wise counsel, those who can pull from years of experience to offer guidance, to give us input into whatever it is that we're facing. That's why the relationships that we cultivate every week here in our Calvary groups offer the stability we need in this life the most. Listen, I don't need more things to do. I'm just like you. My schedule is full. But I do need community. And small groups provide that kind of strength. I need people in my corner. You need people in your corner. People that have your back. Now let me say this. If you're a student, if you're a teenager or young adult, I want to give you some good news today that you don't have to figure this life out all by yourself. There's people that have lived longer and experienced more that can identify with whatever you're going through, and the wisdom that they can sometimes share can be life-changing. That's why I say seek out one of our student ministry small groups, the things that are happening at the church. Talk to Pastor Brad. Connect with other people who have been there and done that and can offer you some wisdom to help you navigate through those difficult times. Sometimes you're the last person that you need to be taking advice from. And really the cure is time. It's experience. And we can't accelerate that. We can't press fast forward on our lives and move things forward. But we can seek out the wisdom of those we trust who have had that experience. And some have learned the hard way and can speak to you about the challenges of taking this path, the path of wisdom, or this path that's full of bats and every other kind of thing that's supposed to be on that path. Second individual that we see in the book of Proverbs is the fool. Now, Pastor Vince touched on the fool at the beginning of this series, but the fool is different from the simple because they know what to do, but they still refuse to do it. I know what the warning on the bottle says, but I'm still going to take it anyways. Or I know that that sign says that the bridge is out, but I'm going to jam my foot on the accelerator and I'm going to fast and furious my way over this thing to get to the other side. Okay. Sometimes you can't force the fool to do the right thing. They're going to roll the dice and do it their way. Now, some of you know some fools in your life, and some of you maybe at one time or another have had a little bit of the fool in you. I know that's true for me over the years. But let me tell you this, it's a very painful way to learn a lesson. I don't recommend it. And the defense of the fool is often pretty weak. It's fun. I wanted to do it. It felt good at the time. Proverbs 10:23 says, a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. Listen, Hebrews does tell us that sin is fun for a season. It's not going to lie. It's true. But you know what? When it's over, we're faced with regret and we're faced with the damage that it's done. So when we choose to go outside of God's way and choose our own paths, paths that people tell us lead to destruction, we'll find ourselves on the other side wishing we had done it differently. And we've all been there. It's easy to get caught up in the fun. It's easy to find ourselves going down the dark basement to see what that loud chainsaw, ding, 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 ding noise is. Let me go down. I'll see, even though you know what you're walking into in that bad horror film. Don't be that character. Don't be that one that really knows better. Parents, help your kids. Help them to not walk on the path of the fool. Because I'll tell you what, it's filled with fun people. But it leads to tragedy. Now, the people that are on this path, many of you know them. They're different names, different personalities, but it's the same fool. And you know it. You can see it a mile away. So we, within the church, as we mentor that next generation, we can help to create less tragedy, to help the next generation learn from our mistakes. You know, any mistakes that I have ever made over the years or things that I've done for the first time that I knew I shouldn't have usually been because of the people that were around me at the time convincing me this is going to be amazing. And it wasn't. They were fools. And I was a fool for saying yes. Now the good news is that there's restoration and forgiveness even for fools, even through tragedy, to find purpose in the pain that you've experienced maybe during some of those decisions that you regret. The third individual that we see in Proverbs is the mocker. Now, some different translations of the Bible will also call this individual the scoffer. See, the mocker is a fool on steroids. He takes it to a whole different level. Not only does he know the truth and still chooses not to do it, but he's going to criticize those that are trying to do it. They actually try to control other people through criticism. Now, you may not know the mocker personally, but they're all over social media these days. They love sitting on the dark, trolling other people's feed and making comments that will just mess them up. They spend more time criticizing people for how they live their lives than they do living their own. And you know what? Some of you have engaged at one point or another in a conversation with the mocker. You've fallen into their trap because that's what they want. It's like throwing gas on a fire. And the Bible warns us not to do it. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 to 8 says, "Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the evil incurs abuse." We don't need more abuse in our lives, but you're inviting it into your life when you engage with these people. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. You see, the mocker lives for the fight. They live to get a rise out of you. And you cannot change them. Only God can. So if you know someone, maybe someone you love that's a mocker, pray for them. Because it's God who is going to bring them back. And then finally, the fourth person that we see in Proverbs is the individual that we all aspire to be and want to be. And that's the wise. The wise is not the person with the most education. It's not the smartest person in the room. It's not even understanding the Bible better or living the longest. You see, the wise have one unique quality that I want to pass along to you as we conclude our series. Proverbs 9:9 says, "Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still." You see, they welcome instruction and they thank you for correction. "Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning." So what's the one quality? It's that they remain teachable. You see, too many people are quick to defend their self-reliance and their independence, but that's not a healthy position to live in. You see, the wise are God-reliant and depend wholly on Him. We all need God, and we all need those godly people who we trust to speak into our lives that we might become wiser still. Chris Hodges, pastor of a great church in the States, brilliantly summarizes the people in Proverbs and identifies them like this: correct the simple and they won't get you. Correct the fool and they will ignore you. Correct the mocker and they will hate you. Correct the wise and they will thank you. My heart for you, for all of you through this entire series, is not to hear my advice. It's not to hear the advice of our pastoral team. It's to hear the advice of God Himself, to hear His wisdom, teaching each of you that if you put this wisdom into practice in your life, that someday you'll come back and thank me. I want to challenge you. Here's a wisdom challenge in the year to come. Take an entire year with your family and attend church together as a family every week. Find a small group. Take the Next Steps class. Serve on a team. Read scriptures like Proverbs on a regular basis. Begin to pray each day, even if it's for a short time. And I guarantee you that at the end of that year, you will be in the best spiritual health of your life. When you surround yourself with the wise, you too will become wiser still. So where do we start? Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So start at the beginning. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I think too many of us carry a wrong view of what it truly means to fear God. It's less about terror and more about reverence and awe and love. You see, in order to fear God, we need to understand who He is. God is awesome. He's holy and He's always right. So when we really understand who God is and what it really means to fear Him, then you and I can live fearlessly. When you acknowledge that His ways are higher than yours and you honor Him and you respect Him, then you finally find yourself starting down the path where wisdom is supreme. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your Spirit at work within our lives. We thank you for wisdom prevailing within us. We pray that we would move from knowledge to wisdom, that we would apply it to our lives, and we would see the strength and fruit of it. I pray for each of us that of all these people identified in Proverbs, that we would seek you and determine in our lives to take your path and to be the wise that you speak of. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to seeing you next week.